But I feel like there is, over the last few years, this kind of yearning to expand beyond whatever boundary you had created for yourself. And people are kind of exploring and checking out new areas. And I think the Northern Catskills really is like that for a lot of people, especially people from New York City, that, a lot of times they were, before the pandemic and probably even still, trying to squeeze in a trip into their very busy lives. And they were trying to go the shortest distance they could to find whatever sense of nature that they could, right? For all of those reasons that I was talking about earlier. But now you have this expansion of that area where it's like, oh, if I go another half hour, I can go to this new place that I've never been to before and kind of check it out and explore it. And so I think that's one of the reasons why the further reaches of the Catskills are seeing the resurgence that they're seeing, because people are expanding and they're realizing that it's only 2.5, 3 hours from New York City, depending on where you're located. And it's easy to still squeeze that trip in to your busy life. And maybe you can work remotely on Friday or Monday or whatever while you're here and still get, maximize your time. So yeah, it's just been great to be part of that. And I hope to see it continue and hope to be a part of it.
The bushwhacks were some of the worst days I've ever had in the mountains, or life, really.
Whereas Panson Mountain is totally opposite. It's a mountain on top of a crater.
I think the weather challenges on this incident were particularly difficult.
It is really the development of New York State. Catskills were responsible.
Now you're listening to Inside the Line, the Catskills.
So, as you heard, we are recording. So, Ryan, this has been quiet past couple weeks in the Catskills compared to what it's been. I mean, you being living in Tannersville and around that area, you know the crazy stuff that has been going on down there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it hasn't been so quiet as it was last year. I mean, it seemed to kind of really quiet down in September last year, whereas the shop has been busy for the last couple of weekends. So yeah, but we expect that it'll get quiet in September and then come roaring back once kind of leaf peeping season starts in a few weeks.
Ooh, good point. Good point. I forgot it. Why do I forget about that? That's
it creeps up on us every year.
It does. It does. And it's starting to come back. You know, I went hiking today and I'll talk about that later. And I see a little bit of change. It's not cool.
I know we've been talking about whether or not it's going to start earlier this year, just because of the crazy weather we've been having and all the rain we had this summer, as opposed to last summer. It was kind of a drought. And then we got a lot of rain in September. So yeah, we'll see. But it's almost guaranteed to be pretty spectacular. So we can't wait.
Yeah, always can't wait for that time. So, yeah. So recently, let's see, on September 9th, we are on September 12th right now recording this. Forest Rangers Martin and Rusher responded to the Burroughs Range Trail for a report of a stranded hiker. 36-year-old from Brooklyn underestimated her planned hike and didn't have a light source or enough food. Wow, they probably should have went to Camp Catskill to get that stuff.
yes, they should have.
Right. Ranger supplied food, hydration, the headlamp, and then hiked the subject out of the trailhead. It looks like it took around 3 hours for them to get out. So that's not bad. I'm just thinking, I wish I would have pinpointed where they were at the Burroughs Range to see the level of difficulty they faced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At and 6:10 PM. Yeah. So
6:10, what hour until sunset?
Right. Exactly. So, but enough to definitely start scaring somebody if they're out there without a light source. So that makes sense.
Yeah. And dude, and when that sun, people don't understand, when that sun hits the like tip of the trees, it start getting dark. Like it's not like it's getting a little bit below. It doesn't like sit like there's no kind of there. It's relentless with the sun because it goes, it's down, it's dark.
Yeah. Cause I mean, right now I'm sitting outside and I have the, bright blue sky lighting things up, but when you're in the woods, it can be a lot darker a lot earlier. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad they made it out.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm curious of where they were found, because we heard of the last situation. DEC actually posted up a video on the rescue they had on the Burroughs Range right up of Wittenberg Mountain, which was really cool.
Was that the helicopter rescue?
Yes, sir. Did you see that?
Yeah. I saw a little bit of the video, but yeah, I mean, that just sounded like such a difficult situation. I mean, you know, that can happen to any of us, right? And so, yeah, I'm glad they were able to respond to that situation. I mean, I'm sure it's been another busy summer for all of those folks again this year, but they do a great job.
Yeah. Fantastic job, by Kraft Martin. And I forgot the other Rangers that was involved with that, but they did a fantastic hoist out. You know, it looks like, they didn't move her. The funny thing is that the girl that was rescued, I thought they would move her to at least the summit to get an easy hoist out, but it looks like they hoisted right from there. They cut down some trees, so it must have been a difficult way to get up to the top, or they just didn't have the time.
Wow, I didn't know they had to cut down trees.
Yeah, so previously in the, I think it was like a year or two ago, there were two rescues up on Wittenberg Mountain, like right 1 month after another, same exact injury, ankle injury. Mm-hmm. Person, they were up close to the top. You couldn't, like, everybody knows that hike from Wittenberg down is freaking treacherous, and it's long, and it's tough. So they were like, you know, we can't, they actually called search and rescue team, and we were ready. We were on standby. We're waiting at the bottom of the mountain. And they're like, this is going to take way too long. We're going to have to call the helicopters. And, you know, we sat there and we watched a helicopter fly over us, and it was just crazy. And this is the same situation. They realized, you know, like, this is not worth trying to haul someone down for 5 hours, maybe. I mean, it doesn't, a lot of people don't realize what a 150 to 200 foot pound body it takes to carry out a person like that. It's tough.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, on the other side of it too, I mean, just doing a helicopter rescue in the Catskills must be pretty intense. I mean, I used to have a job where I flew in a helicopter as a news cameraman. And I can't imagine having to, you know, have the pilot navigate hoisting someone up into the helicopter. So very different thing. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing that they can do that kind of stuff. And thank goodness they can, to help folks that have these difficult situations.
Yeah. And there are accidents. Like you said, accidents could happen to anybody. They didn't plan this. They didn't do anything. It was an accident. So kudos to the Rangers. Once again, good job, Martin and Rusher, up on the Burroughs Range. Once again, an area, it seems like the Burroughs Range and Fawn's Leap and the Clove seem to be the hot spots this year in the Catskills.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We're hearing about it still all the time. I just, I ran into Sean Mahoney yesterday on the street, the supervisor of the town of Hunter, and he's just, had a very busy summer himself of worrying about what's going on over at Fawn's Leap. And, you know, we hope we're moving in the right direction with the meetings that are going on, the VUM and the Catterskill Clove kind of consulting project that's going on. But it's a very difficult problem to fix. And we're hoping to be reaching some solutions in the next couple of years. But yeah, it's been a tough summer.
Yeah. You know, I had Sean on here before, and he, you know, was very enthusiastic with what's going on. He's moving forward with what's going on. That's what we have to do. We can't look back. We got to look forward. And Catskills are getting a lot of people in here, and it's good. I think a lot of people don't like it. I think it's fantastic, but these people need to be educated. You know, that's the one thing.
Yeah. I mean, we try to do what we can from the shop. I mean, I still have people coming in, talking about their plans for the weekend, talking about how they're going to Fawn's Leap. I had somebody in looking for water shoes so that they could go to Fawn's Leap. And I said, how are you planning to get there? talk the person out of maybe going there that weekend. It was one of the weekends that we were having rains and flash floods. I think it's just that people see these images of how cool these places are and they want to go to them. But they don't really understand what they're getting into a lot of the time. And, And it's just the kind of thing that we have to do as much as we can. All of us have to do as much as we can about showing people the right way to do things and maybe alternatives that would be just as enjoyable for them while they're in the area. So, yeah.
Correct. You know, and that's what you're here for. That's what our volunteers are here for, you know, trailhead stewards of the summits and stuff like that. They're here to maybe redirect people to be like, hey, you know, this might not be your gig today. Let's steer you into this area. You know,
right.
I got like a couple of years, you know, being on a summit steward on Slide Mountain. I got people who were like, hey, we're going to hike this. And I'm just like, you know, wearing a dress and, you know, some like white clothes doesn't seem like you're in for this. So, so we redirect them to a Shokan Rail Trail or something easier than that, you know, maybe a little hike down to Wesco Falls or something like that. Well, damn it, notch. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their thing, but that's what we're here for. And I'm glad we have people like you, the summit stewards, the ranger stuff, redirect people to different parts of the Catskills, keep them in here and keep them flowing into our area, make them love our area. And then hopefully they'll get the education they need to keep on going.
That's it too. I think we have to walk the fine line of trying to make it seem like we're the only ones that know how to live here and how to navigate these places, because there are a lot of new people that are not so familiar with the area, but we need to welcome them. We need to allow them to explore these public spaces that are so amazing. I mean, we're lucky to have them in our backyard. But we need to find ways to share them and teach people how to access them safely.
Yep. Correct. You know, and very, very thankful of all the people we have doing this. So, another crazy topic, Leave No Trace is doing studies on human waste research in our parks. So I recently picked this article up and I was just like, oh, this is very interesting. So, Leave No Trace has hired a man named Derek Taft. He's a collaborator with Leave No Trace, and he joined the organization during his sabbatical term from Pennsylvania State. And he is going to the Rocky Mountain National Park, and he is doing research on the human waste in our parks. And we all know everywhere in the world has increased in park visitors. You know, it's not just the Catskills, it's everywhere, especially the national parks has increased thousands of percent. So what he is doing is studying and focusing on visitors' attitudes towards human waste management. So he's probably asking questions of, what are you doing with your waste when you're going out on the trails, especially somewhere in the Rocky Mountains where they have no soil and everything has to be taken out. Basically, you cannot, you know, just crap in the woods out there because there's nowhere to bury it. It's all rock.
No cat holes. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They're taking a lot of time to do this because it's a very sensitive subject, because, you know, how are you going to do that up there? How are you going to do that? Like anywhere we get above, not just saying 3,500 feet, but a certain amount of feet in the Catskills at certain areas, you have very little spots to dispose of your waste. So, Leave No Trace is there, of course, to help you with that, carrying what you carry out. It's very read that it's very labor intensive and it's not always the greatest. So this guy taking it on has got to have some love for the mountains, for the forest and stuff like that, because it is definitely crazy. This guy has been studying in the Rocky Mountain National Park for a couple years. And what a big topic of his is bouldering. He goes, because people, you know, you boulder out in Colorado, the area, Rocky Mountain National Park, and when you're bouldering, you don't have any place to dispose of that. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge, pretty crazy thing that I was just like, oh, wow, that's very, very good point.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, and I kind of hope that the New York City DEP will be paying attention to that study, considering that the Catskills might be seeing an increase in that kind of human waste as well, which would affect New York City's drinking water potentially. So, you know, that's interesting. I wonder if it's on their radar.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because, you know, I mean, we have all these restrictions around the the reservoirs and stuff like that. I mean, the whole Catskill Park, basically, because right. every one of these streams and these side streams lead into a reservoir, Neshokan, the Rondout, and mm-hmm. you know, Pecacton and stuff like that. So good point. Maybe they're yeah. like, oh, we better keep an eye on this. But you know, Leave No Trace, it looks like they talked about this topic in 2015 when bouldering started getting popular. So that's definitely a big thing to, you know, think about, especially yeah. out there. Being not the most glamorous thing to talk about, but definitely something to think about, because once again, I don't want to be out in the Catskills and of course seeing human waste out there. I mean dog waste is a little right on the trail, is a little kind of annoying, but you know, seeing right. wipes out there and stuff like that, people can't go 250 feet or 150 feet, 150 feet, 50 feet off of the trail and bury it. It's not right.
Yeah. I mean, I'll also have to ask Mo about this, because he's a Leave No Trace master educator. And so I wonder if he's aware of this study and if he can shine any additional light on it.
right. Yeah. So Mo is, once again, having on here several times, and we've talked about Leave No Trace. So Mo is, once again, a master educator. And hopefully, like, I'll ask his opinion about that. But I'll have the link of the study in the show notes so we can all take a look at that. Definitely take a big look at that and see what they're yeah. coming up with, because it's definitely crazy, crazy topic. I had to throw it on here. You gotta smile once in a while and be crazy about that. Right? Definitely. Yeah. So also, you know, I was looking in the Ranger rescues, and there was a really odd rescue up in the Adirondacks. So September 4th, New York State Police requested Forest Ranger assistance with the rescue of 15 college students stranded in the confluence of the Boreas and Hudson Rivers. The group was rafting Hudson Gorges, and they got stuck in a short distance upstream from the Confluence Railroad Bridge. The Rangers ensured there was no injuries, provided headlamps, and helped walk the group to the tracks, where they pedaled back using a Revolutionary Rail Company. So did you see that picture of that?
No, but is it like what they, like the rail explorers that they have down in Phoenicia?
That is correct.
Like, yeah. Wow. Okay. That's pretty close.
Definitely correct of that. And I was just like, interesting. They had a picture of them pedaling in the nighttime. So I was just like,
So these college students weren't intoxicated.
No, I haven't heard. I'm not going to say no.
I don't know. I mean, for them to put them on the rails, you know?
Yeah, right. They couldn't walk out. I mean, but I mean,
well, that's 15... clever. At least they're thinking outside of the box.
Yeah, right. It's like, let's make this quicker. We don't want to deal with these kids. Mm-hmm. So crazy, crazy stuff in the Adirondacks. Actually, like, you know, I've been looking, keeping up to date with the Adirondacks, and you know, it hasn't been as crazy in the Adirondacks as it was the past couple of years. We had a lot of rescues in the Adirondacks, as yeah. in terms of like helicopter rescues, crazy stuff in the Trap Dyke summits, stuff like that, mm-hmm. middle of the night rescues. And I haven't heard that much, and it's actually really, I'd say, really good.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So maybe the people are getting the news that they should carry headlamps. Yeah, right. Should carry different, you know, Leave No Trace, the 10 essentials, stuff like right. that. Maybe they're getting the message out. All right. So welcome, everybody, to episode 92 of Inside the Line, the Catskill Mountains podcast. I got Ryan here from Camp Catskill, a supporter of my show, a sponsor of my show. He's been following me for a while, and I support Camp Catskill in every way I can. So he's here to talk about his store and all the amazing stuff he's got there, because I have been there, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. And have I left there empty handed once? No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Well, thank you for the support, and thank you. You know, thank you for having me on here. It's an honor for me.
Yeah. And once again, we needed a place like this in the Catskills. I haven't seen a place dedicated straight up to hiking in the Catskills. And Camp Catskills provides straight up hiking. There's a lot of other places that did like fly fishing and a tiny bit of hiking, mm-hmm. and maybe like, you know, Well, actually, it's all been fly fishing and a tiny bit of hiking. This is 100% dedicated to hiking. And
yeah,
so glad to have you on the show, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to start a shop like this, because I felt like it was an activity that a lot of people were doing, but there wasn't a lot of places for them to go to find the things that they needed, or maybe just something that they wanted that weren't, you know, fly fishing oriented or skiing and biking oriented, yep, or whatever it might be. So, and you know, it's been really fun to put together what we have and just to, you know, be running it for the last year and a half. So it's been really great.
Yeah. And we're glad to have you here. So excellent. So thank you to the monthly supporters, Darren White, Vicky Ferrer, John Kaminsky, Jim C, Michael Bongner, David Mead, Matt, and Matt Smith. Thank you guys very much for supporting the show. Also, thank you to Outdoor Chronicles Photography. Molly from Outdoor Chronicles Photography specializes in adventure elopement and adventure couple photography in the Catskills, Adirondack, and White Mountains. She is also an officiant for getting married and a licensed guide, but she is also a story maker. Molly won't just give you photos. She'll give you memories that will last forever. Don't hesitate to get a hold of Molly on all platforms. Also, have you ever wanted to learn more about hiking or backpacking, or even brush ups on some of your old skills in the backcountry? Check out Trail Bomb Project, a hiking and backpacking school located in New Jersey. Scott and Joe from New Jersey Search and Rescue Team have amazing backgrounds in Wilderness First Aid, Wilderness First Responder, and Mountain Rescue Association, and they are here for you to learn old and new skills of hiking and backpacking. They teach anything from first aid, map and compass, and many other skills that can help you and others while on the trail. Check them out on their website and social media platforms. They have weekly updates and weekly events happening, so check them out. So, Ryan, you drinking anything, sir?
I am indeed. I am drinking West Kills Mountain Life.
Ooh, excellent.
Which I have not had before. I'm just opening another one now. But I haven't had it before. I'm normally a Catterskill IPA guy, or I like the Bury the Hatchet Pale Ale. But I figured I'd try the Mountain Life. I've been seeing it around. And it seemed appropriate to have for this podcast.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Is that the new one they came out with, the collaboration with a bunch of other people?
It is. Yes. And apparently proceeds from it are donated to the Catskill Center, which is really great because we support the Catskill Center with the shop. And it's just a great organization. So I'm extra excited about that. I wasn't aware of that collaboration.
Same here. So excellent. How's it? What is your thoughts?
I think it's actually really good. I would struggle to put it ahead of the Catterskill. I mean, Westkill is by far my favorite beer up on the mountaintop, and probably more generally, they're one of my favorite beers. And the Catterskill IPA is usually what I go for because it's usually available in most of the restaurants around here. But this one's a close second, I would think.
Nice. Well, good, good. I know it just came out. I knew that they had a new collaboration. I was wondering what it tastes like.
I mean, the design on the can is amazing. They have such great art that they put on all of their cans and all of their beers, but this one is just another great design. So that's part of what drew me to it was just seeing the logo.
Of course. It's like that for a lot of our Catskill stuff. Our Catskill brews, you know, I mean, you can't deny a Catskill brewery and stuff like that with the raccoon being on there, you know, Westkill having their Bicknell Thrush, having the all that different stuff. You can't deny seeing like, ooh, I want to try this just because it looks. But I'm having, you know, the funny thing is I saw you drinking. I thought you were having like a vodka and orange juice and stuff like that. Oh. I was like,
wow. That would be bold. No, actually, that's funny that you say that, because that was probably the first drink that I ever had as a teenager, or like a very young, I was in Boy Scouts and I was in a tent and we made screwdrivers out of in a mess kit. So do you remember those old like aluminum mess kits?
Of course.
That were like Boy Scout issue. My first mess kit kind of thing. Well, me and a couple of my buddies snuck some vodka onto the Boy Scout trip. Don't tell anybody. and like mixed up this disgusting screwdriver, and it turned me off to both vodka and orange juice for the next 10 years. But you know, good memory nonetheless.
Nice. And a hiking memory at that.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Nice. I'm actually having a screwdriver tonight. I am having a Union Distillery vodka and orange juice.
Union Distillery stuff is good though.
Ooh, it's
very really powerful. Like their, I mean, I haven't had their vodka, but I really like their whiskey.
Yes. I got to get some more of that. I've been running out. I got to head over to Strickland Hollow and get some of that stuff. Yeah. So what have you been on some previous hikes lately?
Let's see. Most of my hikes nowadays are very short and very, well, somewhat flat, because I have a 16-month-old son who weighs about 25 pounds that I have to carry around with me. But also just the amount of time that I have in general in my life, it's usually I can grab a 1 or 2 hour hike here or there on a day that I'm watching my son. So yeah, we just did the Ashokan Quarry Trail over by the reservoir, which is always a good one. And probably the one we did before, I mean, I don't count like the Wyndham Pass, which I do probably once every couple of weeks with my dog and my son and my wife. But the other one that we did was the Tanbark Loop recently in Phoenicia, which I didn't fully research and look up how steep it was. And it's a pretty good climb with a kid on your back, but it was great. We really enjoyed it.
Put a 25 pounds, you put another backpack on there, you'll have a SAR backpack right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's good training for future backpacking trips where I have to carry all my own stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't typically get to do long hikes these days. I have committed myself this year to doing the Fire Tower Challenge, and I have one left. I have to do Hunter again in this calendar year to finish the Fire Tower Challenge for this year. So yeah, but I try to get out as much as possible. I mean, part of what's great about living in the Catskills is that you're never far from a trailhead, and you can usually squeeze in something, even if it's just a short out and back in an afternoon that you have free. So yeah, I love it.
Nice. Now, to be honest, I don't think anybody has mentioned the Ashokan Quarry Trail. So can you describe that? Like, nobody's mentioned on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really short, nice little loop on the, what would that be? The south side of the Ashokan Reservoir. Yeah, I guess like Olive Bridge. And it's just a short little loop off of the loop road around the reservoir. And it goes out to a quarry, an old bluestone quarry, I believe. I'm not sure if that's what it was, but yeah, there's actually a bunch of old like railroad remnant like equipment from when they would run the trains in there. And apparently, I was reading the signs, they used a lot of the stone that they were quarrying out of that to build the infrastructure of the actual reservoir. Nice. Which is really interesting. You know, I mean, obviously it wasn't coming from far away, but that they built a train line to go to this location to take out the stone and bring it a few miles away so that they could build, part of the dam maybe, or, you know, some of the buildings or something like that, was really interesting. And yeah, it's a nice little, it's probably less than 2 miles, but it's a nice little loop. A little buggy. We've done it in the winter before. It gets a little icy, but it's just a nice, relatively flat loop if you're just looking for something else to do. I do a lot of like random hikes where I just go into parts of the long path around here that are on either DEP land or, you know, unmarked trails in certain areas around here. I just like to find kind of off the beaten track places where I can get away from most people and just be in the woods and enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially where you're located. Do you have a lot of traffic down there? So
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so busy. I'm in Wyndham, and you know, we have some great DEP property around here that you can just, you know, a few minutes into the woods and you're just in the middle of nowhere and you'll never see anybody in there. And you might run into old carriage roads and things from what I assume are maybe 100 years ago, but it's just really enjoyable any time of year, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. So today I had the pleasure of going to beautiful Bramley Mountain located in Delhi.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
did you get to the, what's the deal with the fire tower there? Because are they like moving it? They're raising funds to move it.
So the whole ordeal was to, of course, put a fire tower up there, and they have right. The fire tower. I think it's from Florida, some person that actually had the old fire tower, restored right. It and doesn't want it anymore. And they bought it from them. Mm-hmm. So the whole ordeal was to get that back up there because, you know, bring attraction into the local right. area. Number right. one. And number two, this view of just southern facing Catskills, a western part, and you can see some of the part of the southern, like I could see Slide Mountain from here at times during the winter.
Wow, cool. Yeah.
Is absolutely stunning. And then it faces up back to the north towards where I live in Oneonta.
Right.
And just a 360-degree view would be absolutely stunning. So they did all these fundraisers. They got a great amount of money, and then some for some reason somebody in the town board like halted right. it. We're just like right. they said no right. we don't want to do this, we don't want this, that. So yeah. I think it had to do something with the DEP property and with the town when it wasn't like a collaboration with the DEP wanted to build it a certain way or something like that, and the town was just like, that's not going to work for us. But I'm not too sure of how it went, but that's how I heard. But they're still doing fundraising for it. It's going to happen eventually.
I heard that they actually got. I mean, I'm really not well read on this subject, but I heard something about the fact that they may have gotten approval to move forward recently, within the last few weeks. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned that one, because that's one of the Catskill Mountain Club's trails
yep.
that I believe they manage. And so the Ashokan Quarry Trail that I was just talking about is another one. So they have a pamphlet that they have at the trailhead of the Ashokan Quarry Trail that I grabbed, and has like the Bramley Mountain Fire Tower, Andy's Rail Trail, and one other that I'm blanking on. But that's one of the four that they mentioned in that pamphlet. So that's great. I mean, I've been meaning to get out there myself and check it out. But
and it's a far drive cool. for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everything is a far drive when you live in the Catskills, because it's like, you know, any of the ones that aren't our usual ones that are near Tannersville, Hunter, Overlook, North South Lake, all that kind of good stuff. If you're going to any of the other stuff in the Catskills, it's always a long drive. Somebody True. Was just describing this to me, because I get a lot of folks from New York City, obviously, as you can imagine, into the shop. And they were talking about how the Catskills are like vectors from New York City. So everything is basically the same distance from New York City. But if you live in the Catskills and you try to get to another place in the Catskills, everything takes much longer because there's no direct pathways to any of it, which I thought was an interesting way of thinking about it. But
yeah. Well, I mean, it's totally worth it. The views are stunning. On one side is an easy hike up an old fire tower road. And on the yeah. other side is actual hiking, where you have to hike down some steep sections. You got some ledges, you got, you know, nice. Random mud here and there and some rock walls. It's actually a very stunning hike. So I suggest anybody and everybody wants to do a great hike, go to Bramley Mountain Fire Tower.
Cool. But
fantastic views. I posted them up on Instagram and Facebook. So it was pretty sweet. I loved it. So once again, volunteer 3500 Club, Catskill Trail Club, Catskill Mountain Club, Visitor Center, anywhere, volunteer as much as you can. It helps out a lot.
Can I add one to that list?
Hell yeah.
So adopt a highway. Camp Catskill recently adopted a stretch of highway on Route 23A. But I'm not just pitching for folks to volunteer with us. I think in general, there's a lot of people that have adopted stretches of highway anywhere where you live. If you contact them and see if they're running cleanups along the side of the road, I think that's a great way to volunteer as well. So just wanted to mention that we are doing our first cleanup. It'll probably be right as this airs, but we'll be doing regular cleanups throughout the year for our section of highway on Route 23A in Hunter. So keep an eye out on our social media and stuff for that. But yeah, just wanted to mention the Adopt a Highway program.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. There are several places that do that. When is your cleanup event? What date is that?
So September 20th is our first one. It's Wednesday because I work weekends in the shop. Yeah. So we're going to do Wednesday morning and we're just going to try to tackle what we can.
Nice. Well, this will be airing on the 18th. So you're good. Hopefully you'll get some people.
Great. Yeah. Sign up at, you can send us an email at info@campcatskill.co, or you can check our social media and send us a DM. I want to know if anybody's planning to come so that I can get equipment from the Department of Transportation, like vests, hard hats, etc. And people, if they want to come, they should definitely come. Just bring gloves and good sturdy work boots, because you'll be out on the road picking up garbage and filling up trash bags.
Nice, which we shouldn't have to do, but it's life.
It's a thing that is just kind of a reality, not just the highways, unfortunately, but also the trails. Basically, whenever I go out, I bring a little bag and try to pick up at least one thing that I see along the trail just to kind of do my part. But I think if all of us did that, then there would be less garbage out on the trails. And hopefully then it'll start getting through to people that they shouldn't throw their garbage out on the trails. But until that happens, I think those of us that can, if we can pick it up and help clean it up, it's better. We're better off.
Hell yeah. Agree 100%. Also, stickers. I have stickers at Camp Catskill and I have stickers here. Email me, stop in at Camp Catskill and you get a free sticker. So
and I just gave one out yesterday.
Yep. Hey, that makes me so happy. Good. Glad people are getting out there, basically. Cool. So Ryan, how about we go into a little bit of Catskill Mountain history, sir?
That sounds great. I'll be back in time. I'm very interested. I actually just joined the board of the Mountaintop Historical Society in Tannersville. So I will be very interested to hear what you have to say.
So I contacted them and they haven't contacted me back. So have somebody.
Well, I'm contacting you. I'm the representative of the board that's responsible for contacting. No, I'm kidding. if you would like to talk to someone, I can talk to you and I'll try to find who the right person is to talk to.
Oh yeah. All right. Good. So once again, I got this from a book called The Catskill Park Inside the Blue Line by Norman J. Van Valkenburg and Christopher W. Oldley. Now, this is basically talking about the blue line that we have. So the new Catskill Park blue line, once again, I believe this was written in, this was written back in, it says 2004 is when it was published, but I highly doubt that because this basically talks about anything and everything before 1960. So the new Catskill Park Blue Line, inscribed and included in part of the towns of Middletown, Andes, Colchester, and Delaware County, all of the town of Jewett, and parts of the town of Lexington, Prattsville, Ashland, Windham, Dern, Cairo, Catskill, and Hunter and Greene County, part of the towns in Rockland and Neversink were in Sullivan County, and all of the towns in Hardingburg, Denning, and Shandaken, and part of the towns of Woodstock, Saugerties, Olive, Rochester, and Warrosing in Ulster County. The idea was to include the high mountains in every part of the wilderness area of the Catskills. The new park boundary encompassed a total of 576,120 acres within its boundary, and the Catskill Forest Preserve by this time had grown to over 92,000 acres. A month later, Chapter 717 of Laws of 1904 provided $50,000, only $50,000, for the purpose of acquiring land in the Catskill Park. But no part of such money shall be applicable to the purchase of lands without the limits of such park as established by law of the 1904. This gives some substance to the thinking that the park was created to define an area in which the state would concentrate its land acquisitions for forest preserve purposes. Most of the early state acquisitions in the Catskills were small and scattered compared to those in the Adirondacks, but a strong foundation for the forest preserves was being adequately laid. Many of the acquisitions in the first years of the century were on the northerly slopes of Slide Mountain as long as the Esopus Valley near Olivre, but also included the entire east slopes of Stony Clove and a number of remote parcels in Hardyburg. Now, not much at all was made about the designation of the Catskill Park. The 1905 report of the Forest Fish and Game Commission said only the Catskill Park, as defined as state law, contains 576,120 acres and includes parts of each of the following counties as Delaware, Green, Sullivan, and Ulster. And apparently to make up for the lack of attention given the subject, it said that it's the same thing, word for word, in another section of the report. The 1906 report said even less. It only noted that the state then owned 94,486 acres of land, which in the Catskill Park, and 10,000 acres outside of the park. From then until it was enlarged in 1957, the Catskill Park seemed to be just there, not really exploited or advertised much. It excited a few and caused no problems. The succeeding commissions and the departments did concentrate their forest preserve and land acquisitions inside the park after 1906. So, once again, at this time of reading this book, when I read this book, the Adirondack Park was mostly the attention span of New York State as first, right. And then, of course, the Catskills came later. And upon reading more and more into this book, that everything basically in the Catskill Park was a mimic of the Adirondack Park, because of course it was like always, you know, like, oh, the Adirondacks have way more land to kind of test on basically. So I've read almost all this book now, and it describes basically a lot of stuff that basically was done in the Adirondacks, then done in the Catskill. So the Adirondacks were the big focus. And that's why, of course, in that one little report, they're like, oh, they have 92,000 acres instead of 572,000 acres. And now we have, right,
700,000, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, that difference, yeah, between 576 and 700. But I mean, the other thing that's interesting to me is that I'm currently in the town of Windham, outside of the Blue Line. And the Blue Line is up here, is Route 23, which is, I can see from my porch here. But like, but what's funny to me is that to the north of here, we have kind of the Ashland Pinnacle Range, or the Hunter's Field State Forest. And that's not included, yeah, in the Catskill Park, which, I mean, I guess they just had to draw the line somewhere, because you could probably always find another small mountain range just beyond the line. But it's really interesting to me why they put the line where they put it. So I should check that book.
Yeah. Out. I mean, I think more north of the Windham area was because of Prattsville and stuff like that was used more of logging. That's why there's more constant, like the areas.
But it's all DEP, yeah, land. I mean, there's so much of it is still New York City, true, DEP land, which is, you know, part of why the Catskill Park is the Catskill Park, right? Like, so I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those places up there are the CCC places, though. A lot, yeah, of them are being cut down and let regrow and stuff like that. So I wonder if, right, anywhere up there they're, right, more accessible. So there was more kind of cutting up there and stuff like that for the towns and areas. Cause I know those are beautiful areas up there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it's just more places to go and explore and hike. And I don't know. I try to encourage people to not use those arbitrary lines as too much of a barrier to where they want to go. If there are places where you want to explore, check it out, look it up on a map, see if you can find a path to cut through it and check it out. As long as it's public land, it's fair game.
I was just going to say that. I was just like, make sure you're not going, yeah, on private property.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. It's funny. It's my wife is from England. And whenever we go over there, I'm amazed by this public right-of-way law that they have, which is basically like you can walk on people's property. Wow. And there's these public footpaths that just travel through private farms. And it's just a really interesting way of setting things up. And, you know, some of the time I wish that we had that same kind of ethos here, but I guess there's, you know, there's reasons why that's not the case in the Catskills, yeah. But I like it when I go to visit England.
Walk through, it's respect. You know, they're just like, okay, you respect. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, and that's it. I mean, you know, I know there are problems here. There are people that have had private land and allowed people to hike on it, and then they've had problems. And that's why we don't have two of the 3,500 peaks included in the challenge anymore. But it is really nice just to be able to travel through some of these areas that are maybe on private land, but people aren't going to do anything. They're just going to walk through and they're going to respect it and enjoy it.
Yeah, pretty wicked, I gotta admit. Now I'm gonna have to go up there and check it out.
Oh, for sure.
Awesome. So let's get on to our sponsorship area, and then we'll get on to Ryan and Camp Catskill.
Oh, please do. Yes.
So is it time for some new gear for hiking in the Catskills? Say no more. Camp Catskill in Tannersville has all your hiking needs. Footwear, socks, moisture-wicking shirts, freeze-dried meals, Catskill merchandise, and more. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. They have all your essentials for hiking needs located in Tannersville and an online store. Check out Camp Catskill. If you want free stickers, stop here, get something there. So also, if you're ready to hit the trails, make sure you take the scenic route. Scenic Route Guiding is here to help you with your goals, big or small, like Marcy or Slide or Lone of the Stewards. Check out the Scenic Route Guiding gear rentals on Instagram and Facebook for more information. Also, if you mention the podcast, you can get 10% off. Use the code MOUNTAINLION. Also, check out Another Summit, a nonprofit program that leads outdoor adventures and activities for veterans and first responders for free. Walking, hiking, backpacking, and paddling trips, anything you name it, check out anothersummit.org for more information and for future events. Once again, if you're a first responder, it's for free. Check them out. So, all right, let's get to our guest of the night.
Let's go.
Ryan from Camp Catskill, located in Tannersville. He's a store owner of a hiking store in Tannersville. So welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you so much, Sash. It's really an honor to be here.
Oh, it's an honor to have you as a sponsor, just to let you know. I love a hiking and memorabilia store, Catskill memorabilia store in the Catskill. So we haven't had, I wouldn't say we haven't had one of these, but we haven't had one strictly dedicated to hiking, which was needed.
I mean, I'm just so excited. I mean, when I found out about your podcast, we knew we had to be a part of it, just because anybody that appreciates and wants to hype up this incredible place that we, you know, basically call home, and can hike in and appreciate and camp in and all of that. It's just a great place. And I love the podcast. I love all the topics you go into. And I'm so proud to be a part of it.
Well, thank you. I'm proud to have you as a sponsor. Once again, hiking and backpacking dedicated store in the Catskills. Haven't had one of those. I can, you know, we're going to get to you in a second, but I'm going to tell a little story. Yeah. So back when I first started hiking in the Catskills, my friend, we were going to go up Panther Mountain, get our winter done. He didn't have spikes. Mm-hmm. And our freaking idea was, you know what, let's order it on Amazon. They didn't come in. Hitting Monday, still not in. I'm just like, dude, we can't do this without spikes. This is 2016. Okay. So what we had to do is we called like five different places. Nobody had spikes. Nobody even answered the freaking phone. So basically I called a friend and I was like, listen, man, we are going to Panther Mountain tomorrow morning. Can we get spikes there? Can you leave them out in front of your like doorstep for tomorrow morning? He's like, yeah, I can do that. So once again, we called five different places who said they had spikes. They didn't even really respond and we couldn't get spikes. So we had to ask a friend. Now I'm guaranteeing Ryan could be like, heck yeah, I can make this deal. We're not going to let you go like out in the wilderness and get injured. So
Yes, we definitely carry spikes, and we definitely get a lot of folks that are planning to go to Catterskill Falls into spikes when they didn't think that they needed to. So happy to be a resource for spikes during ice season. So yeah, anytime you need them, you can stop by our shop. We don't have them out yet for the season, but we will in the next month or two. And if you really need them, we have them in our stock room and we can dig in and grab them for you.
The biggest go-getter in the Catskills, well, the biggest needed thing. So right. Ryan, why don't you give a little background about yourself, sir?
Yeah, so I grew up on Long Island, not far, you know, obviously downstate. And, you know, my family liked to go camping and hiking as an activity. And I was a Boy Scout. I mentioned that earlier, but and I'm an Eagle Scout. And so
nice. You
know, one of the things that we did in the Boy Scouts on Long Island was we would go on camping trips, and often we would go to the Catskills. Most often we would go to the Beaverkill area. My troop had kind of a place that we would go every year or every couple of months in the Beaverkill area. But really all over the Catskills, I remember going on camping trips and hiking and all of that good stuff. And it just really kind of baked into me this appreciation for the outdoors and just a love of getting out there and connecting with nature. And so, you know, I finished my Eagle Scout pretty early on in high school. I think I was 16 years old, and then went off to college and started my career, and was still hiking occasionally, was occasionally going on a camping trip here or there with my friends, but really wasn't as into it for a while because I was living in New York City and in Brooklyn mostly, and just kind of caught up in that side of things. But when I met my now wife, I kind of rediscovered camping and hiking, and we started going on some camping trips, in like, oh, I don't know, 2014, 2015. And, one of the camping trips we went on was to Peak of Moose, and we climbed Peak of Moose. And in 2016, and I asked her to marry me at the top of Peak of Moose at Reconnoiter Rock.
Nice.
So that was a pretty memorable experience, to say the least. And that was just kind of a little bit of a rekindling for me to hiking the Catskills High Peaks, because I'd never really taken a formal approach to it. It had always been, you know, on a Boy Scout trip or on a weekend trip, just taking a hike, not, you know, doing any of the high peaks or anything like that. And Peak of Moose was, you know, a pretty tough climb for somebody that wasn't in super great shape. Plus the rock I was carrying in my pocket, that I asked her to marry with was kind of poking me in the leg the whole way up. So it was good, but she said yes. And then we got back to the bottom of the hill, and we ran into a forest ranger who told us that we were set up in a campsite that was not a designated campsite. So, so they had us move, they helped us find a new spot. But anyway, you know, it just kind of rekindled my love for the Catskills. And so we started kind of coming back from 2016 on, as we, you know, when we first got married, and we were, I would consider us weekenders before the pandemic, and had, to the point where we closed on a house just before the pandemic in 2020. So February 14th, Valentine's Day of 2020, we closed on a house in Windham, and it was perfect timing, because what happened next, obviously less than a month later, was that the world shut down, and we wanted to get out of Brooklyn, where we were living at the time, and come visit a place that was, you know, quiet and away from people. And we ended up spending a lot of time here during the pandemic, and just really fell in love with the area, and decided that we would have the opportunity to move here and make a life here. And so my wife now works remotely from our house in Windham, and at the time, I was transitioning from a career in the film and television industry, and kind of thinking that I wanted to do something new. And, you know, the idea of starting a business was something that was kind of cooking in my mind. And so when we moved up here, I ended up getting a job at Home Depot close by over in Leeds, about a half hour from where we live here, to get some retail experience because I had never worked in retail. But I knew I wanted to learn the business from kind of the entry level as an associate at Home Depot. And so I sold appliances for most of 2021 at Home Depot, and then was building my own business online while I was working there and trying to figure out how to sell hiking gear to folks in the Catskills with the idea that I would always have a brick and mortar store if I could find a space to open one up in the right town. And so, you know, up here, there's not all that many great options for downtown areas to open a shop in. But Tannersville was one of them. And so I kept going back to visit this one space that was available in the middle of Tannersville. And I kept looking in the window and looking at it going, I don't know. It's not right. It's not the right kind of space. It's, you know, small, but that's a good thing, but it's just awkward. And I don't know if I can make it work. But then I decided to call the number and connect with the owners and see if it was available. It was, and they agreed to rent it to me. And so I rented it in December of 2021. And built it out, did a bunch of work to the inside to change it around and make it work for us. And then we opened in March of 2022 on Main Street in Tannersville, right basically in the heart of what is now downtown Tannersville. I mean, it always has been downtown Tannersville, but Tannersville has kind of seen this exciting resurgence over the last couple of years of a couple of new businesses alongside us that have popped up. And it's really now a legit destination for folks that are in the area looking for some things to do, an afternoon to spend some time, go for a shop, go have a great lunch or dinner or breakfast. There's also options for that now too. So, and it's been great. I mean, ever since we opened, it's been busy right on Main Street. We've been kind of figuring out all of what we need to be in this area. We're 6 minutes from Catterskill Falls. We're less than that from Hunter Mountain. We have the Mountaintop Arboretum. We have the Platte Clove area and all the great hikes around there. And it's just this wonderland that I couldn't have asked for a better place to open this kind of shop. And it kind of it fell into my lap in a lot of ways. And so I'm really grateful for everything that's happened over the last couple of years. And it's been a lot of fun. So, yeah.
Nice. And don't forget that right there is the Devil's Path. Come on.
Well, exactly. I mean, I include that in the Platte Clove kind of, you know, area as far as Predator Road and all of that. But yeah, I mean, you know, we've got, and that's part of what I think is so great about the hiking in this area is it's everything. It is the most difficult hiking on the East Coast in the Devil's Path, or some really easy hikes like you have at the Mountaintop Arboretum or the rail trails like the Catterskill Rail Trail. And so anybody can come here and engage with the woods and hiking. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's one of the things that I try to do at the shop is, you know, a lot of times I tell people, oh, are you going for a hike this weekend or anything? And they say, oh, no, I'm not a hiker. And I go, well, do you like to take walks? And oh, yes, I love to take walks. And I say, well, you should take a walk in the woods. We have these perfectly flat rail trails that are not climbing a mountain that you can go for a hike in the Catskills. And they kind of light up and they go, oh, great. I think I'll check that out. And so, you know, I think that that's one of those things that there are tremendous benefits to hiking and just connecting with nature in any way that you do it. And whether that's summiting a mountain and challenging yourself physically to do something like the Devil's Path, or it's just taking a quiet walk where you're spending an hour on less than a mile of a perfectly flat rail trail and touching every leaf and bark and smelling flowers and things like that. I think there's a lot of value to that too. So So I think we kind of need to take this all-encompassing approach to the Catskills and to this incredible natural resource that we have in our backyard, and encourage people to engage with it in whatever way they want to.
Yeah.
As long as it's respectful.
Exactly. Exactly. And you got right around Tannenshoal, there's so much to explore everywhere, you know, within direction, you know, any compass direction is 30 minutes is a great, fantastic hike. Any direction, you know, you can go over right over the mountain towards Windham, right there. You can go right down to the Clove, down to the Devil's Path, Hunters right over there. You know, you got everything within Tannenshoal. So right on 23A, that's where Camp Catskill is located, in the beautiful town of Tannenshoal, which I can't say enough of. It's one of my favorite towns to just walk down through and enjoy the beautiful and stunning scenery and colors they have. The paintings of Rip Van Winkle, you know, they have just everything down there. And being to Ryan's place a couple times now, you know, it is small, but the place is packed full of everything you freaking need. I was just like, wow. I walk in there and I'm just like, damn, what doesn't this place have? Like, I'm looking all around. I'm just like, holy crap. This is amazing. And, you know, it was fun to go there. It was fun to see you there. Cause I first went down there when we had the UMP meeting.
Right.
And it was good to get a tour of that, of your place. And I didn't leave there empty handed once again.
Well, thank you so much. That's really nice. I mean, it's been so much fun to put together a shop like this. But also just trying to, you know, I'm kind of grateful for the small space, because I think I would fill a space twice the size, three times the size somewhat easily. But it's also really good to kind of be able to think about what people are going to need. First of all, you know, you mentioned spikes earlier, that kind of thing. Like, we have to have that kind of stuff, but also some things that they might want. And finding that balance is a fun challenge to do. It's not always easy, I will admit. There are times where I think we're too much of one thing and not enough of another. And so I'll go looking to beef up on certain categories, but you know, I mean, it's a lot of fun, and so far so good, with respect to what we have selling, and, we hope to continue to be a resource for hikers in the area.
Hell yeah. So what brought you to the Catskills, to this type of story? So you got into retail,
right?
The Home Depot. I'm into retail. I know how amazing that could be. But what brought you here to the Catskills and to the hiking store?
I think it was just that craving for, like a lot of my customers, I lived in New York City in Brooklyn, and I had a crazy job. I was stressed to the gills. I was working super hard all the time. I felt like my life revolved around work. And so I always craved a separation from that, a kind of stopping things and slowing them down, and just kind of connecting with nature. And so I always wanted to go to spaces that were quiet, that were filled with natural areas, and where I could just get away from that and kind of recharge. And so that's really the first thing that kind of made me think of becoming a hiker or wanting to go for camping trips, was just that restoring that balance to my life. And then, you know, secondarily, I mean, it was, the pandemic was so crazy for so many people in so many different ways. But for us, it was, you know, an opportunity to start doing what we really wanted to do with our life, and live in a place where we wanted to live and where we could see a life for ourselves that was not just the hamster wheel that we had been on for the last few years. It was kind of like a reset. And also, I mean, there was so many people dealing with life or death issues during that time that it was kind of stark to see that you really have one life and you need to do what you really want to do with it. And so, you know, try to do that to the best of your ability. And that was what caused all of these feelings for us. where we needed to live here. We needed to kind of change things up from what we were doing and move to this area. And now we have the shop, we have a 16-month-old son, we're planting roots all over the place, and it's all good and it's all exciting. And I couldn't have asked for any better of a situation than what we have right now. So it's been great.
Awesome. Awesome. So it sounds like, once again, you wanted to bring more of the hiking aspect to the Catskills and the gear and stuff like that to supply to them. Cause like I said, it was tough to find places to get strict hiking gear in the Catskills before you guys came along.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like there just wasn't anything that was geared for me. I'm not a hunter. I mean, I have fished in the past. I have not really been very good at catching fish, but you know, like that kind of old school type of outdoorsman never felt like my identity. And so, you know, whenever I was going to outdoor shops, I won't mention any names, but you know, the kind of traditional, the way that I grew up knowing of an outdoor shop, it always included those kinds of things and was never really focused on what I like to do, which is just to take a hike or go for a camping trip or whatever that might be. And even, you know, even moving to the Catskills when we were up here, there are some great outdoor shops that have tons of stuff that, you know, is all good quality stuff, but it's just, it didn't seem like it was geared towards me and who I wanted to be as a hiker. And so I felt like if I could make that and try to capture what I felt was a new outdoorsy person, a new kind of outdoorsy person, someone who didn't necessarily, you know, wasn't as interested in those other aspects of traditional outdoorsmanship, that I could do that. I had an opportunity to do that, especially with small space and a small retail shop. And so we've been doing that and it's been great. It's been working out for us. So I hope that we get the opportunity to continue to do that and continue to learn and grow and learn from our customers what they're looking for and try to serve their needs as long as it's in line with, you know, what we're looking to do as well.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's what we needed. We definitely needed this type here in the Catskills and in an awesome locating spot too. As I would say, Tannersville is a beautiful area and it's kind of smack dab in the popular spot of 23A. So it gets, once again, gets people there and then also educational aspect, bringing people into Camp Catskill to get some products they might not know. Oh, there's other places that you can go here and there. And that's what you and Mo and some of your other associates are there for, to give out some more educational stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes people are going to areas that are closer to home, but I feel like there is over the last few years, this kind of yearning to expand beyond whatever boundary you had created for yourself. And people are kind of exploring and checking out new areas. And I think the Northern Catskills really is like that for a lot of people, especially people from New York City, that, you know, a lot of times they were, before the pandemic and probably even still, trying to squeeze in a trip into their very busy lives. And they were trying to go the shortest distance they could to find whatever sense of nature that they could, right? For all of those reasons that I was talking about earlier. But now you have this expansion of that area where it's like, oh, if I go another half hour, I can go to this new place that I've never been to before and kind of check it out and explore it. And so I think that's one of the reasons why the further reaches of the Catskills are seeing the resurgence that they're seeing, because people are expanding and they're realizing that it's only 2.5-3 hours from New York City, depending on where you're located. And it's easy to still squeeze that trip in to your busy life. And maybe you can work remotely on Friday or Monday or whatever while you're here and still get, you know, maximize your time. So, it's just been great to be part of that. And I hope to see it continue and hope to be a part of harnessing you know, that for the Catskills and continuing to make it a destination that people choose.
Yeah. So when you add like products to your store, when first started out, and as expanding and learning and stuff like that of the hikers and the people that come to the Catskills, how do you seek these products? Like, what do you, has that been a challenge?
Yes. I mean, it's a challenge for quite a few reasons, right? Because, I mean, we mentioned the small size of the shop. I only have limited space to put limited product. When I am looking at bringing a product in or a product category in, I have to think about a number of things. I have to think about whether or not, first of all, whether or not it's going to sell.
Yeah.
If it's something that people want to buy and are going to buy it at the price that I can get it for and sell it for. I have to look at whether or not I can source that item regularly and whether I can keep it on the shelf. So I could get three of something and sell out of them. But then if I can't get it again, people aren't going to know to come to me regularly for that item. So I need to set up a relationship with a supplier that I know is going to be able to deliver. Well, that has been incredibly challenging to do in the post-pandemic era, just because everyone's heard of the supply chain issues and all of that. So, you know, that's just one of the considerations that I'm looking for. But then for me, I'm thinking about whether or not this item is something that I would want to use when I'm out on a hike or on a camping trip. I'm thinking about whether or not it's something that I'm going to be able to use over and over and over again, and that it's going to continue to serve me well as an item. I'm looking at whether or not the item was created in a certain way, whether or not it's made up of certain materials, like, less sustainable materials. You know, a lot of the things that we buy now are made of plastic. And one of the things that I decided to do pretty early on with the shop is to limit the amount of single use or virgin plastics that we have in the shop. And so I'm looking for items that are made of recycled plastic more often, or recycled polyester in the clothing, or natural fibers that will not contribute to, you know, the pollution and the challenges that we're seeing that are creating a lot of the climate change issues that we're dealing with all of the weather. So there's a ton of things that I'm considering, and really it's item by item some of the time. I mean, we have over 860 different types of items in the shop right now. And that is crazy that has happened over that time. But it's something that I have pored over, you know, every single one of them and tried to find the best option for what we should have, because we don't have a big space. I am competing with the Amazons of the world and the REIs of the world that have everything and can often sell it at a cheaper price than I can afford to as a small independent retail shop with a ton of overhead and limited storage space. So, you know, it's all of those things are challenges that we face as a small business, but it's also kind of fun to work through those and try to strategize what the best way is. And when we get something and we see it sell and we see a lot of people coming in and buying something and, you know, coming back to us afterwards and saying, you know, it's so great that you had that thing that we bought and it worked out so well for us. I mean, that makes it all worth it. All of the hard work that we put in to try to source that product and all of that. It's really just about getting it into the hands of an end user and having them have a great experience with it. So that part of it is really fun.
Yeah. So one big thing, of course, with hiking and mostly everything else is the quality of it and how long it can last you. So that's one of the things I look for in when I purchase something like of course microspikes. I don't want cheap microspikes. They're going to last me two times and they're going to break, or snowshoe, or other different.
Because they'll break at the worst time. They will break at the worst time, and you will have a miserable experience. And, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, paying full price for these kind of items, but often the quality comes at a higher price point. And, and you know, it is the kind of thing that you get what you pay for in a lot of ways.
Correct.
And, you know, when you buy once, cry once, and you pay, you know, a little bit more for something that is a quality item that is known to be durable and to last and to be really good for people, then I think you're much more likely to have that succeed for you. And so that's the philosophy that I take with it. I also think that it's a sustainability argument, because if we are looking at things like we buy things, we use them for a weekend, and then we throw them away, then we buy another thing the next trip we take, that's contributing to the same problem.
Yeah.
Whereas if you buy something that is maybe higher quality, and yes, maybe at a higher price point, I think you're more likely to take care of that and to use it again and again and again and try to get the value out of it. And so I really feel like that's part of our sustainability proposition as a shop, is to not buy things that are considered disposable, and to look for items that are going to last for people for a long time.
Yeah, definitely is what, that's what I like to see, is I want something that's going to last a long time and something that I'm going to want to purchase again if it does break, and not flip to a different distributor or something like that. So that's awesome. That's awesome. And I know you carry great quality stuff. So that's 100% good. And that's another thing that a lot of people like to hear, is like, you know, I know people don't like to buy the most expensive, but you know, with hiking, I figured out that you're going to, once you said, you know, buy once, cry once, the lower stuff that is the lower in price usually breaks the quickest, or breaks at the worst time possible when you need it the most.
Right.
So the buy once, cry once is definitely worth it. Trust me. I've done that with many times with backpacking stuff, you know, freaking camping, you know, sleeping bags, stuff like that. I've gotten the crappiest, and now I have the best that I paid a lot of money for, and it's worked so much better than the crappiest, and I plan on keeping this forever.
My wife always makes fun of me with the amount of, you know, gear that I have and the amount of gear that I carry when we go camping. And she says, you know, oh, why do you have that thing? And then when we're on the camping trip and I pull out some item that I have had in my pack that we haven't used the whole trip, but it's the perfect thing for that part of the trip, then she's like, oh, okay, that, now that makes sense. So, you know, I mean, I think taking that approach, I mean, the Boy Scout motto is be prepared.
Yeah.
And so I probably took that to an extreme, but in many ways it makes it more enjoyable if you have the things that you need to be prepared for any eventuality. So I try to take that into the shop as much as possible.
Nice. Awesome. It's great to hear. So you said, once again, the challenges you face is balancing or battling with REI and Amazon, stuff like that. Is there, I mean, can we talk about that a little bit? The challenges you face as a small business owner?
I don't worry too much about it, to be honest. I mean, there are places where you can get a lot of the same things that we have in our shop cheaper. But at the same time, I think when you come into our shop, if you're looking for something specific, I can tell you why we have it and why I can sell it to you today. Right. And the same goes for Mo, who is a licensed New York State hiking guide who is out in the woods most of the week. And I'm lucky enough to get him to work in the shop for a few hours every week. But, you know, he can tell you why we have that item in the shop in the same way. And so, you know, it's really, I think the way that people shop is different. There are some people that are always price conscious and are always trying to get the cheapest thing and find it at the cheapest place. There are other people that are coming into our shop that are maybe thinking about buying something, but then if they see it in our shop and they can touch it and they can interact with it, and then they can ask us a question about it, then they're going to buy it from us. And whether or not they might be able to find it cheaper somewhere else, the fact that they were able to support a small business in a place that they were coming to either visit or where they live, and you know, engage with a shop owner or a shop employee that was aware of why that thing works the way that it does, I think there's something to that. And that's, you know, kind of part of the bigger reason why I thought that I could have a functioning independent retail shop in 2022 or 2023, is that there are customers that are like that. And we've seen them over the last year and a half. And so I hope to be able to continue to connect with those kinds of people that are willing to come in, willing to learn about different products. And no, I can't carry, you know, 17 different kinds of hiking boots, but I've looked at all of the ones that I might be able to source, and I've picked a few, and I have them on the shelf. And if you're looking for a pair of hiking boots and you want them today, I have some great ones. So, yeah, you know, that's the kind of thing that it's definitely a challenge, but I don't worry about it too much because I don't see a lot of people coming in, leaving, and, you know, buying things somewhere else. I mean, they might be doing it, but there's a lot of people buying stuff from us, so I'm not too worried about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It you know, confidence is a great thing to have. And like you said, coming into some place and, like, you know, feeling that, like, a wool sock or a different type of sock, and that might be too tight for me, or, you know, buying something on Amazon and you get in the wrong size, but you could have gone to your place to try it on and to feel it and to see if it's, if it works for you. So once again, having that confidence against those big businesses is really, really good.
But I also know, you know, I mean, it seems cliche to say, but I also know what it's like to be a consumer and to shop in other places. And, like, if you mentioned, like, a type of sock, well, I think I was wearing the wrong kind of socks for a very long time before I realized that I should size up. And, you know, I was much more comfortable in socks that were extra large as opposed to larger, whatever it might be, right? Like, I think people get stuck in these kind of ideas of what they should shop for or where they should get it or whatever it might be. And so it's fun sometimes to challenge people that have certain ideas of what the best kind of hiking boot is or the best kind of any item is, and talk to them about why they believe that and whether or not it's because they've been marketed to effectively by that company and they believe the hype of that, or whether or not there might be another option that would serve their needs and maybe even better than what they thought of. So, you know, I consider that all part of my challenge as a shop owner and a business, you know, in the Catskills here. But that's part of the fun aspect too, is to kind of figure out where people are and where maybe we can get them to, you know, buy something from us as opposed to one of our competitors.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. Good way to look at that. So, talking about products, what has been the most sought after product in your year and a half?
Well, you know, this is part of the kind of funny thing about being a business here in the Catskills, and especially a Main Street business in a busy tourist area. T-shirts are best selling item by far. And it surprised me as, you know, when I was opening up, you know, the fact that we would be in the business of selling t-shirts wasn't really even on my radar, but there were so many people coming in liking the vibe of the shop, liking the fact that we were an outdoor shop and we were a hiking shop, but also asking if we had anything that said Catskill Mountains, said, you know, Devil's Path or Catterskill Falls on it. And so that's one of the things that we've really tried to do with the business, is to stay true to being a hiking shop, but also to offer some cool items for folks that are visiting and maybe hiking Catterskill. Like, there's so many people that come into the shop that take a hike at Catterskill Falls, and that's their first hike, or that's their idea of a really difficult hike. and they want to commemorate it. They want to, you know, memorialize it with some souvenir. You know, we have some what I think are pretty cool t-shirts that say Catterskill Falls on them. And so it's really fun to talk to those people and get to know them and what hike they went on, and maybe try to plant some seeds in them for taking another hike, either while they're here on their trip or maybe traveling again and coming back to the Catskills and taking another hike and, you know, trying to get them to check out another area or something like that. But so t-shirts have really been the big thing that surprised me most of all. But I mean, micro spikes are one of the biggest sellers for us during the winter season.
Of course.
There have been, you know, I don't know. I mean, it, you know, we have, I'm constantly amazed at how many of the items. I mentioned that we have over 860 different items in the shop. Often in the course of a weekend, we sell so many different things that it's hard to see any one thing. And I think that's, you know, that's a testament to the different kinds of customers that we have coming into the shop and what they're looking for, but also just, you know, one of the reasons why I've tried to pack the shop so full of so many different things is because it's really hard to see any clear, you know, this is the one thing that everybody buys when they come, because we have so many different customers. We have, you know, through hikers, we have day hikers, we have 3,500 members, 80K 46er members. We have people that are there in the Catskills that want to take their first hike and want to go for something that's not too difficult. And I want to have things that they can buy as well. So, it's really an ever-present challenge to figure out what it is that they're looking to buy, but it's fun.
Yeah. I got to admit, those t-shirts that you have, I love to represent the Catskills in any way, whether it's hat, t-shirt. I came in, I was like, oh, I was like, yes, Catskill t-shirts. Shit. I think I bought like three of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very lucky in the sense that we got the name that we got with Camp Catskill. I think it's just, you know, I'm very happy that we have that name and that people seem to respond to it and kind of get it as something that can represent the greater Catskill Park, obviously has that connection to the whole park, but also just like what they're there to do, even if it's not camping as in Camp Catskill. I mean, it kind of harkens me back to like summer camp. And, you know, when I used to go to, Boy Scout camp and the Finger Lakes up in Ithaca. And, you know, it just kind of, it was called Camp Barton, the place that we went. But Camp Catskill to me reminds me of this, this kind of mythical summer camp that, that I may have gone to as a younger person. So, you know, that's fun to be able to put our store and business name on t-shirts and have people buy them as a souvenir. So I'm really lucky that we have the name that we have.
Yeah. And I got to admit that one Camp Catskill shirt, the green one that I bought, is comfortable
Bleep. Well, you know, I mean, organic cotton is a really good material.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we touched a little bit on this, but when I'm sourcing my t-shirts, I'm looking for those materials that are ethically produced. So I'm either looking for organic cotton that's grown without pesticides, or I'm looking for something that incorporates some recycled polyester into it. And so, you know, the t-shirts that we have all have that. They have some element of either organic cotton or recycled polyester. And I feel like for some reason, those materials end up feeling really good too. So it checks that box as well.
Oh, hell yeah. It's comfortable as heck. I love it. Yep. I love it. I'm going to have to buy like six more.
Hey, I got them. I got you. I'm picking up a restock tomorrow, so you'll be good.
All right. Good. Good. So let's talk about a little bit more about your product. What's your newest stuff that you got in that you want to talk about?
So yeah, we're starting to get in some cool, really cool fall stuff. The fall is one of the time periods that the Catskills really shines. It's hoodie season, it's jacket season. it's kind of the time when people like to throw on an extra layer. And so we're getting some really cool stuff from Topo Designs, from Fial Raven, from Cotopaxi. I have it coming in. It's already started showing up on the shelves, but we have a bunch in the back that we're starting to process through, and we have a few more shipments coming in for the rest of the season. So keep an eye out, but it's mostly layer type items. So, you know, you've got nice fleeces, you've got base layers from Smart Wool, you've got nice thick fleeces from Fial Raven. You've got beautiful organic cotton flannels and shackets from Topo Designs. And even like I'm wearing it right now, but a dirt jacket from Topo Designs. That's an organic cotton, just kind of slightly heavier layer that you can throw over. And it's just really comfortable. And it just kind of works for any sort of activity in the Catskills, or living here or visiting here. So yeah, tons of new stuff coming in. And over the next month, we have a bunch of new stuff coming in. I have some new hats coming in a few weeks. Camp Catskill nice. Hats. I have new t-shirts. We have a new hoodie coming in with the Catskill Falls logo, a zip hoodie that should nice. Be here in the next couple of weeks. So yeah, a ton of new stuff.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to it. What is your favorite like t-shirt memorabilia kind of merchandise?
Probably the Devil's Path design. I think that the Devil's Path logo that the graphic designer that we worked with came up with, it hits the right tone. It's kind of fun, but also is a great, I don't know. I mean, people that have never even been on the Devil's Path are buying this thing. But at the same time, I think that anybody that has been on the Devil's Path, it's kind of fun. It's got a little devil with a backpack, like a hiking backpack. And I don't know. It's my favorite new design. I'm hoping to be able to put it on some other items. Right now it's just on the t-shirt, but I would love to see it on a hoodie. I would love to see it on some other stuff. So stay tuned. We'll see what happens, but that's the most fun new thing that we have in the shop right now.
Nice. Nice. So a big question that I have, and it's always ever changing. How do you stay up to date with this, with hiking? Because everything is always changing. New stuff's coming out.
I mean, I listen to the ITL podcast first and foremost. I mean, that's really where I get most of my information. No, but I mean, you know, I think that there's kind of a balance between being aware of it and just kind of plotting your own path. And, you know, I can't help but be immersed in it because I live in the Catskills and it's kind of baked into most of what I do in my everyday. And, you know, I would say things like reading, you know, Outside Magazine and stuff like that. But so much of the business is focused on the West Coast, or, you know, the mountains, the Western mountains, that it kind of feels, again, to me, like it's not really geared towards my identity as an East Coast hiker who hasn't really gotten the chance to engage with very much of that. And so, you know, I'll take what I can from it. Maybe some of the style nods, like so many of the brands that we have in the shop are Boulder based, Boulder, Colorado, or Seattle, or West Coast, you know, in general. And so I think that there's oftentimes where they're setting the style tone, but I mean, we have the benefit of being, I have the benefit of having lived in New York City and seeing that more East Coast style of things and how it kind of, you know, sometimes comes into, you know, butts heads with the West Coast style of how things work. So, you know, I like to think that what we're doing here in the Catskills is representative of that mix of both of those things and the kind of style inspirations of East Coast and West Coast, and, you know, Catskills Adirondack hiking versus West Coast kind of PCT, CDT inspired types of hiking. So, I mean, it's a mix of everything. I don't have any one source, but it's fun.
That's good.
To kind of keep track of what's going on. I mean, I can't not mention social media too, because I think we can, you know, curate our own social feed with whatever it is that we're interested in and inspire ourselves. But I try to extend beyond that and not just get stuck in the same old thing whenever possible. I try to kind of look for what's new just with Google searches and, you know, looking for different items that are awesome, sustainable, or, you know, are new to the space. So, it's an ongoing challenge.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, of course it always is, but it's good that you have a kind of like a 360 degree view of everything, right, instead of taking, you know, just one different point of view. So awesome. So a question I have: 1% for the planet. What is that?
Yes. So 1% for the planet is an organization that I believe was either founded or inspired by Yvon Chouinard from Patagonia, that encourages businesses to commit to donating 1% of their revenue to environmental causes. And so this is one of the things, it was probably the first check I ever cut from my newly formed LLC, Camp Catskill LLC, or whatever we are. And it was because I knew that I wanted to bake in the idea of sustainability, the idea of giving back into Camp Catskill. And nice. So 1% for the planet is a way of keeping us accountable to doing that. And so every year we are committed to giving 1% of our revenue, which is, you know, I feel like most people that aren't involved in business might not realize, but revenue is basically our top line sales number. So whatever we are selling, we are committing to donating 1% of that amount to environmental causes. And whenever possible, we are trying to donate that money to environmental causes here in the Catskills. So we've partnered with the Catskill Center. We've partnered with Catskill Mountain Keeper, and Leave No Trace is another organization that we donate to. We've only been around for a year and a half now, or 2 years officially as a business, but we have been fortunate to certify for both of those years as 1% of the planet members. And we plan to continue that throughout the life of our business. It's just something that I think is important. If you are a business that likes getting people outside and encouraging people outside, I think you also have to consider protecting that resource and encouraging people to protect that resource. And I think 1% for the planet is a small way to do that, but also a great way to do that. And it's been really fun to connect with them.
Sweet. I'll have to look into that. Definitely.
Yeah. Sweet. Anybody can do it. So anybody that has a business, a functioning business that is, you know, buying and selling or conducting business in any way can commit to being a 1% for the planet member. And then they make it really easy to connect with nonprofits. They have a database of certified nonprofits that are vetted by them as resources. And so, you know, when I first connected with it, I was, you know, I signed up for it and they were like, great, you're a new business. You're located here. Here's 5 resources that you might want to check out. Fortunately, I was already a Catskill Center member and they were on the list. And I was like, great, this is perfect. Catskill Mountain Keeper was another one that was on the list. I was like, this is easy. So, you know, they make it really easy to connect with and donate to those nonprofits that have been doing this great work here in the Catskills for ages. And they make it really easy to do it.
Nice. Cool. I will definitely put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
All right. So last question. What are your future plans, sir?
I'm excited for this. I have too many future plans, but I guess there's a few things that I would like to do in the next couple of years. And mainly they center around events and getting together the community of hikers or people that like to get outside, either people that live in this area of the Catskills or visit this area of the Catskills. But I think that there's a lot of untapped opportunity with respect to connecting people around outdoor recreation. And so that's one of my primary goals, is to figure out ways to get people together, get them enjoying each other's company in the outdoors. And so whether that be through guided hikes, so I've alluded to it and mentioned that Mo Lemire is a New York State licensed hiking guide. I'm fortunate to be able to call him an associate at the shop, in addition to his full-time hiking guide business, Hike On Guides. But we've been talking and brainstorming ways that we can do guided hikes through the shop. So that's something that I would really like to get going sooner rather than later. I would love to get, you know, more people just engaging with the outdoors and hiking in any way. So one of my new hats that I'm wearing, I mentioned it earlier, is that I'm on the board of the Mountaintop Historical Society. Well, they have an incredible hiking program that they've been running for years. I think that there's opportunity there. And, you know, part of the reason why they have such a great hiking program through their organization is because their campus sits at the terminus of the Catterskill Rail Trail, which is a great resource for anybody that's visiting Catterskill Falls. But I would love to work with them to see what we can do with respect to getting people to engage with both the hiking and the history of the Catskill Mountains, specifically in our area of the Catskills and all the great tourism history of the Catskill Mountain House and the Catterskill Hotel and the Overlook Mountain area. And so that's one of the things that I'm working on with that organization. Nice. And then finally, I think with the shop, we're just going to continue to try to be the best resource we can be for hiking, for visitors to the Catskills, and stewards of this incredible natural resource that we are fortunate to be inside of. But one of the ways to do that, I think, is rentals. I'm trying to get a rental program started for the shop where we can offer snowshoes and other gear, maybe micro spikes, and make it something that people can engage with that either, you know, aren't able to or don't want to purchase snowshoes. You know, they're big investments. Yeah. And so I think if we can offer a way for people to engage with the outdoors in all seasons, especially the winter season, which is one of my favorite times to go out for hikes, then I want to be able to do that. And rentals, I hope, will be a way that we at the shop can do that in the future. It's something that we've been working on behind the scenes and hope to be able to roll out sooner rather than later. I'm not going to make any promises, but I hope to be able to do it in the next season or two.
That's fantastic ideas, great future plans, because, you know, getting people to commit to a product, you know, you might buy those snowshoes that are $200 and then you don't like them and then you get screwed. But if you have those snowshoes and they can try them out and they love them, then they can buy them. And that's a fantastic, fantastic idea. I love that idea. It's great also to get people who do that, who aren't, you know, fully aware of what they have for winter hiking gear and what they can use. And to rent them is definitely an awesome idea to do.
Even just to try something out.
Yeah, exactly.
Try something out, see if it works for you, and then maybe purchase down the line. So it's something that I feel like is an important thing for us to offer to help people, you know, hike safely in that season, but also just to enjoy their experience more.
Correct. Awesome. Awesome. Sounds like some great future plans. So, Ryan, let's kind of wrap this up. Your post-hike brews and bites, what do you suggest?
Oh, I mean, there's such a long list that it's difficult to choose just one, especially in Tannersville. We are incredibly spoiled. But yeah. I did want to call out the Notch in the Catskills, the Notch Catskills, as a great place to go for a post-hike brew. They are located on the golf course in Tannersville and are just such a cool spot. It's kind of like a Japanese pub style. They have some great food options with respect to, you know, kind of Japanese styled or Asian styled food, but also great beers. And it's just a chill, cool spot to check out. And then and also, I mean, I went to Mama's Boy Burger today. It's, you know, it's a good spot for a burger. It's a great spot for ice cream. Such a cool vibe. And you can sit outside and enjoy a nice meal after a hike or whatever. But yeah, I mean, just Tannersville in general has quite a few good spots to check out. So I encourage people to come visit the area and hopefully they can stop by our shop while they're there.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. What about something in Wyndham? Nobody's mentioned anything in Wyndham yet.
Yeah. Well, so Wyndham has great restaurants. I think we're struggling. And actually, there's one about to open up that is called the Tip Tavern. And ooh. I think they're waiting on a liquor license. But it looks like it's going to be a super cool spot for a post-hike brew. But yeah, I mean, there's some cool spots in Wyndham. To go for a post-hike meal. We have Mill Rock is a great restaurant that my wife and I went to last night. There's a good diner in town, great coffee shop. So if you're up here and you're looking for a coffee before your hike, check out Wyndham Local. That's a really great spot in town here. So, and yeah, there's, you know, there's a few more places to check out while you're here. So, you know, again, no shortage, but yeah, hopefully that Tip Tavern opens. I'm really looking forward to it. It's right in the middle of town, and I think we need like a good bar that you can just sit and have a beer and enjoy it. We have the Tap House. It's a good spot, but looking forward to another option as well.
Nice. Nice. All right. I will tag them in here. So, Ryan, thank you for joining me. Also, thank you for the monthly supporters. Thank you guys for supporting the show. Also, thank you to the sponsors of the show, Outdoor Chronicles Photography, Trailbound Project, Camp Catskill, Scenic Route Guiding, and Another Summit. Thank you so much, Ryan. Thank you for supporting the show. And thank you also for believing in me. Really, I appreciate it. That's it's pretty crazy after 92 episodes that people are still listening. I can't believe it.
Hey, congratulations. I'm just happy that I made it into the first 100, but I think it's so great what you're doing for hiking, for the Catskills. I think that as someone that was looking for this kind of content, the fact that you've been doing it for 92 episodes is so important. And I appreciate it just as a hiker. And I hope you keep going for another 100, if not more. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of this and keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And keep it up with Camp Catskill. Love your stuff. I just hope everybody gets there and buys something because you have such awesome stuff. And like I said, the freaking t-shirts are wicked. I love those t-shirts. I got to come back and buy them all. Oh, you can get them online. Screw that. Get them online. Just look at them online.
That's right. Yeah. Check out campcatskill.co. That's our website. Everything that's available in the shop is available there. We ship all over. So if you're looking for anything, check us out there and or stop by the shop. We always love to see your face, too.
Hell yeah. Human interaction is always great, especially positive.
That's right.
All right. So, Ryan, thank you for joining the show. And I'll see you again in the future, buddy.
Sounds good. I hope it's soon.
All right. Have a good night.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, I just want to thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe and throw down a smooth review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast platform that you use. You can also check daily updates of the podcast, hikes, hiking memes, and local news on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the official website of the show. Remember this, you just keep on living, man. L-I-V-I-N.